just way too good to me. I don't deserve any of it. And I know that you do not deserve it either. That's the beauty of the cross.
Amen.
All right. Sorry, I got water, and maybe a lot of you guys don't. Sorry about that. Okay, you gonna stand up? Okay. How you guys doing tonight?
Excellent.
Well, I'm pretty messed up. I don't know. Maybe we should call a substitute teacher. Amen. Yes, he does. Well, we've been, as a staff and as pastors and the leaders in the church, and God is really stirring our hearts with a message. And you guys heard Pastor Walt this weekend preaching on Revelation chapter 3 and talking about the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church. And God is really stirring our hearts to really spend extravagant time with him. And that's the reason why we're going back to the Live Dead Challenge. So the Lord took me to a scripture to share with you guys tonight. And it's out of Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. And I sense that it's kind of piggybacks on what Pastor spoke on this week, partially. So if you guys got your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 35, and I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Verse 35 says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself, have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them." Verse 40, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So I read, as I started reading this passage this week, and there's something that God revealed, it kind of brought to my attention Monday. There was a few things that really struck me and really were speaking to me. Some of your translation in verse 35 might say, like, for example, the NIV says, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning." I like the King James and New King James Version of this verse, because to me, it has there's a lot of significance in the word. It's a lot more descriptive. You know, instead of saying "be dressed, ready for service," it says at the beginning of verse 35, "Let your waist be girded." Okay, so what does that mean, to gird? Right, it's to fasten, to secure, to equip, to prepare. The Strong's Concordance, the primitive word there, is to gird on as with the belt, right? To kind of secure a belt around you. This is very significant. See, in Bible times, a belt have a lot more significance than for us than just putting on a belt, because your pants might be a little big, right? And some of us, like myself, that have gained a little bit of weight, sometimes you don't even need a belt for the pants to stay up. That's for me. You guys might be a lot more fit. But at any rate, when we go running, we put on shorts for the most part. You know, we put on shorts, we go running. In their times, they did not have that luxury. They wore tunics, right? They were long. And so a belt was utilized for another purpose, which is to tuck your tunic into it. Okay, so you pick it up and you tuck it in, and you could move with a lot more freedom. You can move a lot quicker. You could go from place to place a lot more swiftly, if I may say. And so this, talking about let your waist be girded, comes into play in this scenario here. When they tuck their tunics into their belts, their attire, their garments were no longer a hindrance for them to move about. And God was saying to me, as I was reading this, he asked me this question. I sensed the Spirit asking, what has become a hindrance in your life for you to come after me? I sense that was a good question, so I'm asking you the same question. What has become a hindrance in your life that prevents you from really going full-blown 100 miles an hour after Jesus as fast as you can? Because we need to tuck that away, okay? The belt also played a crucial role in the effectiveness of a soldier's armor in those days. As you guys very well know, the belt is what held the scabbard. And what do you put in the scabbard? You put the sword, right? So a soldier without a belt then didn't have a place to put his sword, right? Very significant. The Apostle Paul told the church in Ephesus to put on the whole armor of God. You guys remember that? Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. He says that, and then it's the first thing that is mentioned from the armor of God is the belt. And it's interesting that Paul calls it the belt of truth. Why is that interesting? Because the belt of truth holds the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Right? But the Word of God is truth. And the Spirit speaks of that truth. You get what I'm saying? So all of that interconnected. Very important. So what spiritual implications does this mean to me today? What does that mean for me today? I'm glad you asked. You guys not asking, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You know, I sense that Jesus is telling us, as I said, to put aside everything that hinders us from pursuing him, to run after him. Run like you never run before. Pursue him at a speed that you have never gone to before. A new way of chasing after Jesus. I sense him saying, gird your waist with the belt of truth. The truth of my word, the truth of who I am, and the truth of who you are in me. Put that truth all around you. Back to Luke chapter 12, verse 35. You know, the second verse, the second part of that verse 35, after it said, let your waist be girded, it says, and your lamps burning. And your lamps burning. NIV might say that, keep your lamps burning. So let's talk about this lamp. This lamp that is referred to here is a small clay lamp made out of clay. To keep them burning requires both the expenditure of effort and it requires resources in order for us to keep it burning. You know, lamps kept burning. In order for them to keep burning, they must be refilled periodically with olive oil so they could keep burning. The wicks on the lamps must be trimmed occasionally in order for them not to go out. And also, in order for the lamp to be burning, you cannot just walk away and leave it. See, we're not talking about an electric lamp that you could just plug in and you leave in your office or at your home just running. Until you shut it off, it goes off, right? You have to tend it. You have to take a look at it and make sure that you're checking it out. You're keeping watch over it because otherwise the wind could blow it out, right? And I know I come from a third world country, so I know in Dominican Republic we have those lamps that are very tricky. You have to have the wick at a certain height, and you have to make sure that the wind is not hitting it in a certain way because poof, it's out. and you got no light, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? And you have to fill it back up with whatever you're using for fuel. But in those times, they use the olive oil. So the lamp were not the lamps that we use today. They were made with clay. They needed to be refilled with oil periodically. The wicks have to be trimmed occasionally. They needed to be watched to make sure that the wind did not blow them out. Pastor Will preached this weekend when we talked about Revelation chapter 3, and he talked about the church at Laodicea and said that God said, I wish you were cold or hot. Guys, remember that? You know, as I read this message, and it's saying keep your lamp burning, I had a sense within me that, you know what? I am that lamp that it's talking about. That lamp that needs to keep burning. And you are that lamp that needs to keep burning. I said, okay, Lord, so what does that mean? You know, we are the ones that are supposed to be hot and shining bright when the master comes back, okay? See, and just as this little lamps of clay, it takes effort and resources to keep us burning. See, and the effort comes from you. The effort comes from me. I have to put my effort forth in order for me to keep burning. But the resource is who? The Holy Spirit. See, that's the resource. See, because if it's all effort, you're not going to get anywhere. Because if you don't have any oil in that lamp, I don't care what you do, you're not going to get it lit up. And it's not going to stay lit, and it's not going to be burning. What is the purpose of a lamp? I'm asking. Illuminate light to see. Exactly. Right? The purpose of a lamp is to produce light and to help you see when you're surrounded by darkness, right? Some of you guys know about this. Most of you should know it. But who does Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says that is the light of the world? No, you and I. I mean, Jesus is the light of the world, but he's Jesus in us, and then we become what? Light, right? So we are the light of the world. Kind of like this lamp is. Just like the lamps are made out of clay, who else is made out of clay? Isaiah 64:8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are clay, and you are our potter. And all we are, the work of your hands. See, you are made by God and for God. He made you. So see, do not be discouraged with the way you look. Do not be complaining about your uniqueness. See, God made you, and he knew what he was making. But see, the only time we're ugly is when we don't shine. And that sense that that's for some of us here tonight. Just as this little lamp needed to be filled, we also need to be filled. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, and now do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And that filled there, be filled, it has that be filling. Be filling. It's not a one thing. I did it one time and I'm done. It's a constant thing. You know, an empty lamp is of no use. And tonight we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God will fill us with the Holy Spirit. You know, because there's way too many churches, way too many preachers downplaying the role of the Holy Spirit in our process in this walk of sanctification. Way too many. And, you know, we could choose to agree to disagree, but in my life, I know that if it was not for the Spirit of God, I could not walk this thing right. I know that I cannot be the light that Jesus needs me to be. I know that I cannot be the influence in my surroundings that I need to be without a light of God shining in and through me. Yes. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit. See, I cannot be a witness. I can't even begin to open my mouth. Because the Holy Spirit, that's what he does. You know, I took my car for service. It's not even in my notes. And so they gave me a ride. And this gentleman comes up to pick me up here at the church. Now, he's picked me up at the church, so he has to be assuming that I work at the church, right? So he probably thinks I'm going to talk church stuff to him, right? So at first, you know, I started just making small talk, talking to him about his, hey, man, so are you married? Yes, I'm married. How long have you been married? How many kids? Blah, 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 and this and that. And God, for a while, we took 72nd. We hit the interstate. And as soon as we left, he just said, talk to him about me. This guy ain't going to listen. You know, when I got in the vehicle, big old rock and roll music blasting, and he just looked like one of them. There's a little bit more experienced than I am, the gentleman. So it looked like one of those 70s, yes, the hippies, you guys call them? Yeah, something like that, whatever. You know, old tattoos that don't have any colors and stuff like that, hair kind of messy, you know, his glasses. And I'm already judging the dude from the way he looked, right? But the Spirit of God kept on telling me, tell him about Jesus. He ain't going to listen. So we continue on, and when we hit the interstate, and we're moving west on the interstate. We're moving way west. We pass Q Street, L Street, all that, Harrison. And I'm still not saying anything to the guy. So I just say, hey, man. All of a sudden, just said, what do you think of eternity? How's that for a party breaker, for breaking the ice? And then, so I say that, and he says to me, what? I said, yeah, do you think there's life after you die? He said, oh, yeah. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, we come back in a different form. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, we ain't got time to talk about reincarnation now. And I felt that. I said, you know what? You just really sucker punched me here, Holy Spirit, because I didn't see this coming. I mean, I completely expected to tell me, no, don't start talking to me about God. No, And then he proceeded to tell me how he has been all over the world, all kinds of religions. So I'm like, I really don't have time. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I just want to get home. But again, the Holy Spirit in me will not leave me alone. So I proceeded to tell him. I said, you know what? That's great that you're familiar with so many religions. I said, I know about a few of them, but that's a big difference, buddy. I said, I know where I'm going, and I ain't coming back. I said, monkey or a chicken. I say, you could choose to be a monkey or a chicken, but I don't choose that. I choose life, eternal life. I say, you know the only one that gives you that eternal life? He said, who? I said, Jesus. So, you know, again, we had a great conversation after that. I throw some things at him, and he kind of, you know, whatever. I knew that his mind was already tick, tick, tick. I say, you know what? Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. All of them jokers are dead. All of them. You could go visit their tombs. But Jesus is not. I say, you need to try to experience him in your life. And just give him a test drive. You know, he's in the car dealership business. So I just thought that was pretty clever. It wasn't of me. But give him a test drive. So I thought that was super cool and everything. But I'm not that good, guys. I'm really not. I'm really not that eloquent. I'm really not that able to articulate things and come back at somebody with things. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the work of God in you. And see, you can't be the light of the world. You can't do what Jesus had called you to do empty. You can't. So as a lamp, you need oil. And tonight, we're going to get oil up in all of us. Because we leak too. Because those lamps were made out of clay. And clay, how many of you guys think that they needed to be patched up from time to time? Anyway, I went way under weeds, but thank you, Jesus. Wow. All right, where was I? All right. So just as this lamp needed to be trimmed to keep burning, guess who needs to be trimmed? Yeah. And it was, I love John 15, too, because it says, every branch in me, Jesus is saying, that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. So God just chops it off. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes or trims, that he may bear more fruit. So you know why you got to trim those wicks and those lamps? It's so they shine brighter, so they don't go out. Just the same way that that tree, you have to trim it in order to bear more fruit, in order to be more productive, the same way with your lamp. You need to trim it or it's going to go out. And that trimming process is not pleasant. That's cutting off stuff out of our lives that God say, you know what? I don't want that in there anymore. So we're going to cut that off. No, wait a minute. That looks good on me. No. But it has to be done. It has to be done in order for his name to be glorified. And we need to let God cut away the pieces that are burned up. Amen. And just as his lamps needed to be watched to make sure that they didn't blow out, so do we. And that's the reason why Jesus said before he was going to be betrayed, when he went up to pray, Matthew 26:41, he said, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. You know, our lamp needs to be watched over. You need to make sure that prayer is part of your life. Period. Watch over that lamp so it doesn't go out. You can't leave the lamp unattended too long. In the same manner, we can't afford to be away from prayer. We can't afford it, church. All right, so this is the stuff that we need to make sure that happens in order to keep our lamp burning. Number one, be filled. Number two, be trimmed. Number one. Number three, be praying. Well, I said number one. Well, that should be number one. All right? So be filled, be trimmed, and be praying. Simple stuff. That's just kind of like a little pastor thing, you know? Like, you got to make it rhyme. I don't know where that came from. All right, ADD in full effect. All right, let's go back to next verse in our passage, verse 36. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. I'm going to stop right there, the first part of verse 36. In this culture, see, servants were expected to wait up. They can't go to sleep if their master's not there. They needed to wait on their master. And also, they were expected to almost anticipate the needs of the master. Okay? So, we see this, be like men who wait on their master. The word wait here has a connotation of expectation, of anticipation. That's the wait that we're talking about. It's not kind of like when somebody calls me and I'm talking to somebody else and I say, hey, Pastor Chris, just wait a minute. No, that's not the way that we're talking about. We're talking about the weight of expectation and anticipation. The kind of weight that when you ladies order something on the internet, like shoes, and then you like in anticipation because they have to get here before Sunday because we want everybody to see the new shoes kind of thing. And you can't wait until Brown comes up, a.k.a. UPS, right? And then you really expecting it. And that expectation is like you hear the door and you open up. Oh, and it's your kid's friend. Can I play? No, get out of here, right? It's the same expectation. That same expectation that, you know, some of you guys, you know, you go and you talk to your boss and you've been doing a fantastic job because, guys, we love to be appreciated at work, right? That's what identifies a lot of us. So, you know, you meet somebody and they tell you, what's your name? I say, Raphael, what do you do? Right? Right, John, you know about that. We talked in a small group one time about that stuff. So I learned from John, too. You know, I learned from everybody. John, you got good stuff. You guys ought to talk to John sometimes. Anyway, so you're doing great at work. And your boss tells you that. Your boss says, man, dude, you're doing a fantastic job. So wait till your performance appraisal, man. Something big is coming. And you're like, oh, yeah. Some of you guys might call it reviews, but the company I work for, they call it performance appraisal. So wait for your review. And you're like expecting this because the boss says, you're doing great, man. And just wait. Wait till your review. And you're like, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is it a promotion? Is it a big old check? What is it? What is it? And you have this expectation. Well, that's the same expectation that we're talking about here. The same wait. Wait. Wait for the master. That's the same waiting that we're doing here. You know, Pastor Wall also talked on Sunday about opening the door when God is knocking. And I wanted to take us back there again. Because in this passage, we see it again. And back in June, I don't know, none of you guys are going to remember that, but back at the beginning of June, I spoke on Wednesday night and I shared the word urgency, that it was a big word in my head. And as pastor, Pastor Mark had a chance to preach on Sunday morning, and he talked about the signs of the end times. You guys remember that? Said that you got to be looking at the signs and all that good stuff. Well, the word urgency will not depart from my head. Excuse me. Too much coffee. So then I gave you guys the translation of the word urgency. Oh, not the translation. See, I speak Spanish and English, so translation. The definition of the word urgency. So the definition of urgency is importance requiring swift action. Urgency is importance requiring swift action. And this is exactly what the second part of verse 36 tells us. It says that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Immediately. See, open to him immediately. There's a sense of urgency here. There's a sense that we do not want to keep the master waiting. There's a sense that there's nothing else more important at the time but to go and open as the master is knocking on that door. Urgency. See, brothers and sisters, we can't wait to open the door. We just can't. When he knocks, we open the door. See, and I discovered in my own life that this is very, very important in order for me to keep on trucking. Why? Because if I delay, I do not open. That's just me. You might be different. But I get so easily distracted that if I hear the door and I say, oh, just wait a minute, Jesus, and I got to do my own thing, I forgot that he even knocked. That's just me. You might be different. But that's the importance why I figure out, you know what, when I hear that knock, I got to go immediately. I got to go open it. I got to go open it. What does this knock on the door mean? Well, it means that Jesus is requesting permission to enter. The knock at the door is crucial because, see, God could do whatever he wants, but yet he chooses to ask our permissions to get in. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that amazing? The master owns the house. Say yes. Mm-hmm. But he's knocking, requesting permission to enter. Permission to grant him access into your mind, your will, and your emotions. Permission to grant him access into every single area of your life. That's what is required here. Do you want Jesus to have access to all of you? Do you? It's not easy. It's not easy because then we have to trim the burned pieces, right? But remember that he has to have all of you in order for you to experience the fullness of who he is. All of you. You know, as we were praying here, I was just overwhelmed with the fact. I was saying, God, I want more of you. I'm not satisfied with what I already know. I'm not satisfied with what you have already shown me. And he said, really? Do you understand what you're asking me, son? Because, see, when we say we want more of you, God, that's a higher price. Yeah. You go and buy a car off the lot, and it's completely, you know, you even have to roll it with the windows like this. It's cheaper. What happens when you want an upgrade? What happens? It costs you more. So, you know, I heard a man say, I was listening to a DVD this week. I forgot even the name of the guy, but he said something that kind of struck me, and he said, God is not going to keep you from what he wants to perfect you through. I was like, whoa. Wow, that's some good stuff. That'll preach. Could preach for a couple hours just on that. God is not going to keep you from what he wants to perfect you through. That's what happens. Asking, I want more of you. So do you really want Jesus to have access to all of you? Well, that's a couple of people. So the rest of you got scared. Sorry. Just that's the real for real. All right. We're going to start wrapping it up here. Something happens after we grant access to the master. Something beautiful happens. Verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. when he comes and those that he finds watching, this statement implies that to me that there are some servants that were not watching. So those servants that were watching will be blessed. Those servants that are watching, he will gird himself and he will serve them. They will sit down and eat and he will serve them. We must be vigilant. We cannot fall asleep because the master is coming. That's a significant promise when you open up that door. And the promise is intimacy with the master, intimacy with the king. As Pastor Walt said on Sunday, the dining room then becomes the what? The throne room. Some of you guys are listening. Very important, because that's that intimacy piece. You know, verse 40, and I'm closing with this. In verse 40, it says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming. If you have your Bible open to this passage, please highlight, underline, circle, whatever you want to do, that word is coming. However your translation says it, he is coming. It doesn't matter how long it's taken already, he is coming. So what will you be doing when he is coming? I heard a couple of commentaries of a couple of preachers that were asked that, and one of them said, was it D.L. Moody, I think? Yeah, that. What will you be doing when Jesus comes? And he said, I'll be eating my steak. Sounds a little presumptuous to me, but what he's trying to communicate is, I don't need to change anything I'm doing because I'm ready, baby. See, if when he comes, you have to go running around, changing things around and rearranging furniture, that's a problem. Let's do the rearranging now. Let's do the filling up now. Let's do the trimming now. Amen? All right, stand to your feet. You know, I don't want Aaron or Morgan to come up here right now. They're fantastic in the giftings that God have placed in them. But this is going to be between you and Jesus. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And whatever I said tonight, you need to respond. Not for my sake, I don't care. I had to respond. When God put all this in my heart to share, I'm responsible for my response. So now you are responsible for your response with nobody playing the piano, nobody singing a chorus between you and Jesus. Any of this. You being ready, girded with the belt of truth around your waist, ready to run after Jesus like you never ran before. And you being that lamp made of clay, made by the potter's hands. And you being filled with the Spirit of God, with that oil of heaven that will bring forth fire, that will keep you burning. Or is it the trimming of the wick? That we need to cut off some stuff that is already burned. And that stuff that will get you burned. Or is it that prayer life? Is it that you need to watch that lamp to make sure that it doesn't go out? That you just don't walk away, but that you're checking on it constantly. That you're going back and making sure that it's lit up. Making sure that the fire's not going out. The master is coming. So right now, if any of those things that I say apply to you, and you want to make a declaration, come to the altar and let's pray. God, is between you and us. Father, is between you and us right now, oh God. You see all my imperfections, oh God, and yet you love me. You see all my blemishes. You see that I leak. You see that I need to be filled again and again with your spirit because I leak. Because I let the world influence me. Because I let other things come in the way of you and I, oh God. So right now I'm asking you, oh God, to fill me to overflow. I'm asking you to fill me, oh God, till I'm overflowing with your presence, till I'm overflowing with your spirit, oh God, that everyone that comes in contact with me, anyone that comes in my area of influence, oh God, will get wet, that they will be impacted by the overflow of your spirit, by the overflow of this heavenly oil that will flow from me, oh God. And I pray the same for every person under the sound of my voice, oh God, those that have come to this altar, Lord, to be touched by you, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray, oh God, that even now you touch them. I pray, oh God, that you start pouring your spirit, oh God. Pour out your spirit in this place. Pour out your spirit, oh God, upon every man, woman, and every child that might be in this place, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you fill us to overflow. I pray, Father, that we'll be a people of influence, that we may be a church of influence, oh God, that we may not just sit on the sidelines, that we may not just sit aside with our apathy, oh God, and our criticism, oh God, and our backbiting, oh God, but that we may be filled with the Spirit of God, that the love of God may be in us, that the compassion of Jesus may be in us. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that you do it right now for every person, oh God. I trust you and I believe, oh God, that you said that we will have what we ask for. And if we could ask for the Spirit of the living God, you will give it unto us, oh God, for it is the promise of the Father. And I pray right now, oh God, that you pour out your Spirit, oh God, on these that are here today, oh God. And I pray that you pour out your Spirit, oh God, on the young people upstairs, and all the children that are in this building, oh God. I pray, Father, that your spirit will flow, oh God, upon Glad Tidings Church, oh God, from the top of this building, oh God, physically and spiritually, oh God. I see a flowing, and I pray, oh God, that it will impact every person, oh God, that no one will leave this place the same. I want to talk to you today. There's somebody in this place. You came today and you don't know Jesus. You don't know Jesus. And you might be pretending and you're in this place, but I'm going to call you out. Now, you have a choice. You have a choice. You either come up here, you could just come right here, and I want to pray for you. This will change your life. I guarantee you, the same way that he changed mine. So if that's you and you want to be bold and kick Satan in the teeth, you come up here right now. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You either do it or you don't. You're either a man or you're not. Because it is a man, all right? So I'm going to give you that opportunity to come up here. You want to do it? Fine. We pray, and the Lord's going to touch you, and you're going to experience the love of God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you. I thank you, oh God, that you know man that you shall lie. A son of man that you shall repent. I thank you, oh God, that you're trimming the wicks right now, oh God. That you're cutting away everything that's burned up, oh God. I thank you. I thank you that you're faithful. That you're doing surgery right now on some of us, oh God. I thank you, Lord. Oh God, help us to be faithful to you as you have been faithful to us. Help us to contend on our needs, oh God. In prayer. That we may watch and pray for the Master is coming. May you find us, oh God, being vigilant. May you find us, oh God, waiting for you with that anticipation, with that same zeal that we wait for the things of this world, oh God. And even beyond that, oh Lord, I pray that we may have a zeal for your word, a zeal for your presence, oh God. That we may not just seek your hands, but we may seek your face, oh God. That we may be able to say we want more of you. No matter the cost, no matter what it takes, I want more of you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing.